Welcome back to the Brunson Podcast. I actually have upgraded my microphone, so hopefully there's some better audio going on here. Today I want to talk about the opposite of one of my other podcasts. One of my podcasts I've called The Downward Spiral. And in it I talk about when you realize that you're kind of in a tailspin, here's some things you can do to kind of snap out of it, more or less. This is the opposite. This is about the upward spiral. And what I found is there's really kind of three states of mind that I tend to be in. I'm either in a downward spiral where I'm kind of just spinning out of control. I feel like that's when I'm in this mode of just, it's kind of a self-destructive mode where you just don't care. So you're sleeping in as late as you can. You're not trying to produce anything. You're eating whatever you want. You're watching as much TV as you can. You're just in this mode of just like, just don't really care that much. Everyone's different, but people with my personality, they're more of a turbulent style personalities, as they title it. It's really a more common thing to be in that downward spiral every now and again. So I've tried to study myself and figure out, okay, what's causing me to tick this way? And that has really led me to understanding these three different levels that we go to. So number one is the downward spiral, which, as I explained before, is when you're spinning out of control. Number two is stagnancy. And I think that's actually where most people are. Because of my personality, I'm kind of more of a, I'm almost never actually stagnant. I'm rarely stagnant. I'm either on an upward spiral or a downward spiral. Upward rise maybe is a better term for it. Stagnancy is where you're just kind of going through the motions. You're trying to keep some heat on the things you know are right, but you're not really like trying very hard to improve the quality of your life. Sadly enough, I think a lot of us get comfortable enough that we kind of stay in a lot of stagnancy for a very long time unless something snaps out of it, like pain. Pain is usually what causes us to change anything in our life. If you're in enough pain, you snap into a high-functioning mode because you have to. So the upward spiral, or the upward rise, whatever you want to call it, is a state of mind where you're just really on your A game. For most people, they reach this right around January 1st, and it lasts right about 2 weeks. Maybe three if you're really just killing it that year. For most people that hit the upward spiral, it's because at the end of the Christmas season, you're fed up, you're sick of being overweight and feeling like garbage all the time. So you're just like, you know what? I'm going all in this time. I'm going to do it. And what I have found is that if you get in those modes, one, you have to manage that it's okay to take your time on your goals. Don't try to change everything right away. Don't try to just magically just snap into a super high functioning mode where you're going to lose. I remember one time I had a friend tell me, he's like, I'm going to have a six pack in 6 weeks. And the state that he was in right there, I was like, hey man, if you can do it, I totally support you, but maybe that's not the best goal to set right now, because he was a long ways away from that. I think that's what often happens, is we kind of just binge on both ways. We binge during the Christmas season, the holidays, and then we think we can just snap out of it with 3 weeks of insane exercise. That's just not the way to do it. So that's neither here nor there. The upward spiral, I think when it's done right, is this continual growth state that you're in. People can be in the upward spiral for years and years. Here is what I think keeps you in the upward spiral. I've learned something about myself. When I'm doing really well and I'm really on top of my game and I'm progressing and I'm pushing myself and I'm moderating a lot of things in my life, I found that sometimes I just get kicked out of it. And I've really kind of started to database different things that I've noticed have pushed me out of this amazing state that I get in. So next time you find yourself in a state where, like, you know what, life is just good. Like, things are really moving along great. Here's my advice for how you can keep in that state of mind of that upward rising motion. I broke this down into 6 points, and I'll actually probably write a blog on this here. So, and for those of you who haven't read my blog, I've got a couple articles on there that I think are pretty well done, if I do say so myself. And I think that they'll offer a lot of value for those that are kind of looking for more frameworks of some of the stuff I'm talking about here. So number one of my points is, don't stay on the mountain. This is something I've talked about for years and years, is is the analogy of when we're hiking a mountain, we have a tendency, once we hit the summit, to just never want to leave. And I'm talking this figuratively, right? Figuratively, once we hit some good, once we kind of hit like a point of comfort in our life, we're just like, man, like, why would I want to keep trying, you know? Once you hit financial freedom and your bills are being paid, what's the point of making more money, right? I mean, yeah, it'd be nice, but gosh, then I have to go back to work. Then I have to keep grinding like I was for the last year. So that's what I talk about by staying on the mountain. If you want to keep in the upward spiral, you cannot stay on the mountain, but you can take a deep breath up there. You can go and you can look out, you can just enjoy the sights, you can really soak it in. You can say, man, I'm happy. Man, this is awesome. And that's okay. That's okay. But the second that you really just kind of take a deep breath and enjoy it, that is the time you go, okay, what's the next mountain? Just like that. Do not wait. If you find yourself in a state of mind where like, man, life is just sweet right now, life is awesome, you need to ask yourself, what's the next mountain? Because if you don't, you will find yourself not keeping that level of happiness long term. We are not designed to be stagnant. It is not in our nature. And when I even say that there's three modes and one of them is stagnancy, really it's just like miniature downward spiral. Really, you're stagnant means you're either degressing or progressing. There is no just stagnancy, not really. So get off the mountain once you've had a chance to soak it in and take in the sights. It would make no sense for someone to go climb a mountain then just to spend the rest of their life on that mountain, right? You go take in the sights, you come back down, you go find another mountain, and you go enjoy those beauties too. So that's step one, or point number one. Point number two is to not inhale success. This is something that I wouldn't say that I've had to experience a lot, but I do know that there's a certain point in a lot of people's careers where people just kind of are either their biggest fan or their worst critic. You see this all the time on like Instagram or Twitter. People are just vile towards celebrities and people that have hit massive success. I've seen it towards people that I'm like, man, who could say anything against this guy? One of the guys I follow is Russell Brunson, who's an online marketer. I just think he's a top-notch guy from what I can see. And what I've noticed is that people, same thing. Half of them just think he walks on water, and the other half of them think that he's not that good, and I think that he's kind of arrogant. I think he's this or that. I mean, it's really funny, but on both of those things, don't inhale. If you inhale people when they are critical and you just really soak in their criticism, it'll just tear you up. If you inhale, if they say, oh, you're just the best thing ever, and you're like, oh, I guess I'm the best thing ever, and you start to like actually believe what these people are telling you, you're in trouble. I'm all about constructive criticism. I'm all about people helping you see yourself better, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you let their opinions register on an emotional level with you. It will destroy you, and it will take you out of your upward spiral. Number three is be grateful. I think, again, that the most toxic thing that will destroy your path towards success is arrogance and pride. If you think that you're hot stuff, you're in trouble. It will not last because, frankly, it's just kind of a sperm lottery at the end of the day. If you had gifts that got you there, it's because, hey, guess what? You got really stinking lucky. I like to say blessed, but either way, it's not you. You're like, oh, well, I worked really hard. Yeah, well, who gave you the arms to work that hard? Who gave you the mind that was capable of perceiving that? Being grateful, I believe that really spending time thanking God for everything that you have is the best way to make sure that you can really stay in an attitude of sincere gratitude. And being grateful every day and just counting all the blessings and just being like, man, this is awesome. Because it doesn't matter where you're at, you can be grateful. And especially when you're on these upward spirals, you're just going, man, life is killing it. Take time to just soak in all the little beauty around you and redirect all that wonderful energy towards God and say, thank you. Because if you thank yourself, trust me, it's gonna blow up in your face. Been there plenty of times. Number four is be at peace. You need to get to an emotional point where you recognize that you are not happy because of your success, that you're happy anyways. If you start to look around and go, man, I'm killing it, and you start to associate your self-esteem with your progress on your goals, that will destroy you as well. Some people still keep progressing despite that, but I really think it's very toxic. And that's why a lot of people you'll see are kind of workaholics, because they achieve all the success and they just can't stop because their self-image is literally tied to their ability to succeed. very, very toxic place to be in. So when you're at peace, you just get to a place where you say, okay, if I were to lose it all, would I still be okay? And emotionally go there. Actually go there emotionally and say, you know what? If I lost it all, would I still be happy? And you go, yeah, I'd still be happy because I don't need money to be happy. I don't need family to be happy. I don't need friends to be happy. I don't need anything but my own decision to be happy. Everything else is a bonus. And if you can't get to that, those things will control you and they will become your emotional center. A lot of people might think that's really controversial. Oh, well, family is everything. I think family is very important, but it's not everything. I think a marriage is very important, but it's not everything. The only thing you should ever center yourself on is divine principles. That's it. Those things don't change. They're powerful, and they'll make sure that as long as that connection is correct, things are okay. Now, if you say, I'm out of whack with myself and with God, or with whatever else I connect with on a divine level, yeah, then something, then that's, you don't be at peace. If you are not connecting with whatever you believe to be your divine source, you are in big trouble. Trust me on that one. You could have everything else screwed up in your life, but as long as that connection's solid, everything else will work itself out. Let go of the emotional need to win or to prove something to someone else. If you are on this upward streak because you have a need to prove to somebody, oh yeah, that I'm big stuff, that's trouble too. Trust me on that one. The worst part is that a lot of people that are successful, they can't even enjoy it. That's a terrible thing to have all the money in the world and not even, and to have it not bring you an ounce of joy, which you're like, there's no way these guys are buying yachts and planes. Trust me on that as well. I keep saying that, trust me, but seriously, you're gonna find really quickly that money can't make you happy. I know people have said that, but it's true. It really is, because if you're out of whack with whatever connects you to God and to your divine center, nothing will ever make you happy. Not a better marriage, not more respectful kids, not more responsible friends, whatever. I mean, none of it will ever make you happy until you reconnect. So be at peace, connect with your divine center. Number five, accept that you don't have it all figured out yet. This is one that, frankly, is kind of one of my weaknesses, because I'm so methodical, and I've had this, and this is where I've had to reach this over and over again, is that every time I think I have it figured out, I'm painfully reminded that I don't have it all figured out. I've had so many times where I'm like, I've cracked the code. I figured out the formula. I'm there. I've made it. It's all just smooth sailing from here because I found the silver bullet. That's never the case. And if ever you believe that you have it all figured out, you're going to crash and burn. Even when you're on top of the world and it seems like there is nothing left, gain, except you don't have it all figured out. That humility is critical. It's absolutely critical. Point number six is to focus on service above all else. You are called to serve. And you might think, I'm not called to serve. Trust me, you're called to serve. You don't know what it is yet. You haven't discovered your mission maybe, but you are called to serve. My friend once told me, he said, there's two critical things. The two most important things a person can ever do is one, discover what their mission is, and two, fulfill it. Everyone has a calling. Everyone has a mission in life. A lot of us do squander it. A lot of us do ignore that calling. And a lot of us never get to a point of emotional self-esteem where we're able to really tap into it, which is partly why I even have this podcast. I'm not claiming to have it figured out, but I am claiming that there's a lot more than just living a good life. Or there's a lot more than just living a good life. We think, I just want my family, my wife, my little house, my car, live my American dream, and die. After retirement, of course. And I think of that as kind of dismal. If you have a good family and a good life, you're in the minority. And there's literally billions of people out there that are really suffering and need what you have. You might think you've got nothing to offer. Well, you're not digging deep enough then. You've got to figure that out. We all have a calling. And until you can tap into that calling and really devote your life to it, I think you just can't be long-term happy. You have to find what your higher purpose is, and you have to just fearlessly chase it. I think it's one of the scariest things that we ever do as humans is chasing what we think is right. We've kind of been pushed into a society where it's not acceptable to go against the grain sometimes, that it's better to just do what everyone else is doing, their safety and what everyone else is doing. But to really make a difference, to really contribute, you have to be willing to accept criticism. You have to be willing to bravely and fearlessly analyze your own feelings and your own emotions. And as you do that, that's where the power comes. Once you can hit a point of emotional security, you're like, you know what? I have emotionally let go of the need to prove anything to anyone. When you let go of other people's opinions, it's like this whole new world opens up to you. If you let go, once you let go of what will the neighbors think and the friends and the family think, man, this whole world opens up to you. So find, that's point six, is focus on the service. And I kind of went a little tangent there, but that's really the reality of it. You have to find out your calling, your mode of service. And once you tap into those things, that's the power. Now, as I say this, I wrote this for me. I did not write this as a podcast. I actually decided, I was like, yeah, this would be a good podcast. But I wrote this for Brunson because over the last few months, things have gone very well in my life. And I've had some ups and downs, I had some turmoil. But overall, I feel very, very blessed. And I've started to go, man, I want to stay in this mode. You know, I don't want to get booted out of this again. The Book of Mormon, which is a scripture that I read, talks about two elements. It says that, I think the verse says something along the lines of, blessed are those that are humble, but more blessed are those, or no, 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 excuse me. Blessed are those who are compelled to be humble and essentially become humble, right? But more blessed are those who are not compelled to be humble. In other words, more blessed are those that choose humility. That has not really made sense to me for a long time. I've always kind of been bothered by that. And lately, it just finally clicked. And I was like, that's it. It's when you're having things in your life go well. Don't be compelled to be humble. Don't reach a point where you're going to stay on the mountain so long that eventually something has to kick you off the mountain so that you keep your behind moving. You know what I mean? You have got to purposely and deliberately embrace humility in your life. And I'm preaching to Brunson right now. So maybe it sounds like I'm talking to you guys. I'm actually talking to me. I'm a big believer that as long as pride is in our life, we are truly, in the most pure sense of the word, damned. We can't move forward. We can't progress because that pride is toxic. When you think you've got to figure it out, when you think that you're the shiz and you think that you've got it all made, that is when you know for a fact that you are way out of place mentally. You are completely in disassociative thinking. So, quick recap. Number one, stay on the mountain. Number two, don't inhale your success. Number three, be truly grateful. Number four, find peace. Number five, accept you don't have it all figured out. And number six, focus on service. I think that as we do those things, we're really going to be able to keep momentum. These are things that I wrote this specifically. I'm like, I need to really have daily reminders because it's so difficult. It's so difficult to keep yourself in the right state of mind. But I think that this is really what I found to be the keys for me and helping me keep myself in a good state of mind to continue to progress. The irony about it is you have to let go of the fact that you've got it figured out. That's the trickiest thing. I think that's the hardest one for me. I'm like, no, because I want to have it figured out. I want to be like, man, I've got it figured out. I can take a breath now. I can relax. But unfortunately, it just doesn't work that way. You have to always be the student. A good friend of mine said you have to always be the Grom, which apparently is a surfing term for a newbie. And I'm not a surfer, so I don't know. But that's what he told me. And I love that. Always be in a state of learning. Always be in a state of humility. Quick little side note before I wrap this up. Another great valuable skill that I have found is putting yourself to a learner situation often. What I see a lot of people do is, especially those that are low achievers, they never pick up a new sport. They just don't do it because they're tired of looking stupid. They look stupid for the first 5 years of their job and the first everything they ever did. They look stupid, and now they finally have a place in their life where they don't have to look stupid anymore. And they're really comfortable. They've got their job figured out. They've got their lifestyle figured out. They've got maybe hunting figured out. And they've got just a handful of things that they just know how to do really well. And they don't really ever want to be in that greenhorn learner stage anymore. Not a good place to be. It'll screw with your head. I have found so much value in deliberately doing sports that I'm bad at. I am the worst at basketball of anyone I know. I literally don't understand the rules to this day. I either foul people all the time or I just get trampled. I feel like I just have no idea what I'm doing, but lately I've been like, you know what? I'm gonna keep trying on basketball. I feel like an idiot every time I get out there. And I've had to do that with a lot of sports because it deliberately, because I think it's a healthy place to be. It helps you stay humble and it really helps you control your emotions. It helps you practice controlling your emotions with failure and success. Rejection therapy is another amazing thing out there where you deliberately do things where you're rejected. And I've actually got friends that do that. I'll have to interview them about that specifically, but stay in the learner mode. And with all of that, I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you all for listening. I hope the audio is a little better. I hope I'm starting to nail this down a little bit. It's been really tricky trying to figure this out. It's been really tricky. So feel free to share this. I'd love your feedback. Seriously, for those of you that are just listening, shoot me a message. Let me know if there's anything you'd like to hear, any topic that you'd like to touch on. I have a lot of people ask me questions, and I've kind of been gearing some of those back into my podcasts. But if you've got something that you're like, hey, let's figure this out. I probably won't have the answers, but I'll study it out. I'll ask people that do have the answers. I'll come back with data and I'll share it with you. So, message me. I really appreciate when people comment on my podcast and everything else. So, with that, friends, we will see you on the next podcast. Until then, best of luck and go out there and make it happen.